Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
On a Thursday, this is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me. Last night was amazing. I got the NFL schedules. I got NBA playoffs last night, but mostly I got the NFL schedules. It was a nerd fest. I've never been happier. Sat there with my dog and a Corona and just broke down schedules for 2 hours.
It's so fun. We have no idea what's going to happen, but the win-loss is the best part.
So much fun. And I want to talk about this morning, Joy, expectations.
Right.
If you were a movie director and you were given $35 million to direct a movie for a studio, that's a rounding error. They're going to leave you alone. Edit, do what you want. But if they give you $140 million to make a movie as a director, that's not a rounding error. That's got to be a hit. And so the CEO of Paramount and Sony and Disney, all these companies, the CEO's in the editing room. They're on the set every day. How's it going? How's it look? How are the story arcs? How's the editing? How are the budgets? Expectations, my friends, change everything. They change everything. Cleveland is going to be on primetime 4 times this year. Oh, they are no longer a movie with a $35 million budget. The Cleveland Browns now, expectations, they're a movie with a $150 million budget. Baker Mayfield's silliness, not so fun on a 2-game losing streak, now is it? They threw a parade last year when they were 7-8-1. They don't go 9-7, heads going to roll, namely Freddie Kitchens, the rookie head coach who's never even been hired by any other team as a coordinator. So I looked at the NFL schedules yesterday, and oh my, isn't this interesting? I don't think it's the toughest schedule because it lightens up in the last month, and that is crucial. But go look at the early schedule for the Cleveland Browns with all these new pieces, a lot of mouths to feed, a rookie head coach, and a very talented young quarterback in his second year. Oh, Lord. Rams, Seattle, at New England, at Baltimore, at Denver. Well, Colin, a couple easy ones at the Jets and at San Francisco. Really? You ever gone on the road for a Monday night football game? Of course, Cleveland, you haven't, because nobody wanted to put you on Monday night. But now they're going to put you on the road. You're a big attraction. You know what those Monday night football crowds are like? Drunk, loud, lubricated. Give the home team an extra 1.5. And Darnold, frankly, can play, and so can Jimmy Garoppolo. And Adam Gase is a good offensive coach, and so is Kyle Shanahan. They're the two guys closest friends in the league. They're smart. They trade secrets. All of a sudden now you're 2-4. So Cleveland this morning is looking at their schedule and they're like, hey, we're realistic. We know it's kind of tough early, but it's a lot of W's late. All right. So let's just concentrate on one game in your schedule. Tennessee. Everybody in Ohio this morning grabbed a little pocket schedule like Joy talked about yesterday. W on Tennessee. Okay. Okay, W, okay, Rams, Seattle, New England, W on Tennessee. Well, let's just examine Tennessee. They finished with a better record than you did last year. Unlike the Browns, who beat one playoff team, 1-5 against playoff teams, only win against Baltimore, Joe Flacco, who was later benched. Oh, Tennessee throttled Dallas, humiliated New England, clobbered Philadelphia. Well, but we added a lot of new pieces. Oh, so did Tennessee. Adam Humphries was the most expensive slot receiver. Cameron Wake's old, but he'll be a pass rusher. And they upgraded their offensive line, taking a Ram who is now a Tennessee Titan. And oh, by the way, they do not have a rookie coach. They have maybe the smartest and most successful of Bills coordinators, Mike Vrabel, the former player. My sources tell me Mike Vrabel, of all the New England Belichick guys, of all of them, Vrabel's going to work. Now, he was never a top assistant for Belichick. He was a player for him. But my guys in the NFL, my scouts, my guys say Tennessee's well coached. They were a Blaine Gabbert start from making the playoffs last year. And they have a history of going into places and stunning people. They're a very physical football team. Cleveland, you're not in a position to just discard teams as W's. Belichick and Brady can. They can put a W if they're hosting Miami, if they're hosting Houston, even a good team. There are no automatic wins for the Cleveland Browns. They do not exist. And Cleveland, you have always been the $35 million movie budget. Nobody really cares. It's a rounding error. But now you're a primetime team. We're going to put you on the road. We're going to have you play Pittsburgh on Thursday Night Football and Patriots, Rams, and television, and Niners, and everybody in Cleveland this morning has Tennessee as a W. That's going to be one of your toughest games in the first month. I'd argue your toughest game. Good luck. Expectations change everything. All right, let's shift to this. Celtics won last night. Actually, Kyrie Irving won the game last night. I've been saying all year long, as people fell in love with Toronto and Milwaukee and the Philadelphia 76ers, I think it's all about ingredients. It's not about your regular season. Do you have the two things you have to win a conference? A great star who's a closer and a great coach. Historically, that matters. Depth doesn't. Play hard doesn't. Good defenders don't. Doesn't matter. Milwaukee, Toronto, Philadelphia. To me, the Eastern Conference is really easy to figure out. If you look at the eight teams in the Eastern Conference playoffs, pretty easy. You got four bad rosters. Indy, Detroit, Orlando, Brooklyn. Those are not great rosters. Then you have two pretty good rosters that are unproven rosters, Toronto and Milwaukee. Then you have a great roster that's got chemistry issues, Philadelphia. Then you have the Celtics. The Celtics have the coach. The Celtics have the star. The Celtics have the depth. They have playoff experience. But the difference between Indiana and Boston in this entire series has been one player. You got 15 guys on a roster. There's 30 guys available. One guy, Kyrie Irving, has stolen the show. And what happens in a playoff series, when you play somebody over and over and over and over, system guys shrink. Guys who need plays designed for them shrink. Guys who need a screen to get open shrink. You need guys who can get a bucket. And there's not four guys on planet Earth who are better at getting a bucket. Maybe James Harden's better. Maybe Kevin Durant's better. There are not four guys on planet Earth who are better at, quote, getting a bucket with a minute to go than Kyrie Irving. Kenny Smith talked about that last night.
We need a guy who's talented enough to say we don't have to run a play. Just go make a play. So if you're Indiana, there is no one right now. Those guys are great guys who can run plays, and they make great decisions when running a play. But when it comes down to this situation, these situations, Boston will always have the advantage because not only Kyrie, they could throw it to Tatum as well.
So the best player in this series has been the difference, Kyrie. The second best player is Jason Tatum, but he's not yet great. He's really good. Well, what happened to Tatum? He was average in game one. He was tremendous in game two. The difference between good and great is consistency. Kobe gave you the same game every night. LeBron in his prime, D-Wade in his prime, Bosh in his prime, Steph Curry in his prime. They have a stinker about once a month. So everybody gets fooled over and over on this. Whenever you play the same team over and over and over and over, you can't fool anybody. Everybody's seen the plays. I mean, LeBron James in his prime, if you remember this, when he was with Miami and Cleveland at the end, he'd be calling out your plays. He'd been in the NBA so long, he'd like go, oh, they're running that, because you couldn't fool LeBron. So when you get into a series, in the NFL, college basketball, other sports, you're in town, you're out of town, I can fool you. I can win a game on schematics. But when you get into a seven-game basketball series, I know everything you do. You can't fool me on your inbounds. You can't fool me on your screens. You can't fool me on your pick and roll. You can't fool me out of a timeout. You know what I need? Guy can get me a bucket. And this Boston team, there's not a better player in the Eastern Conference to get a bucket with a minute left. Because Giannis can't shoot. And he doesn't handle the ball in crunch time. Kyrie's the best get-a-bucket guy. Most of the best guys in the league at that are on the West. There's one guy in the East is unbelievable. It's Kyrie Irving, and he's the difference in this series.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
The Sixers play Brooklyn tonight. It's a very big series. It's 1-1 now. Philadelphia is a loaded team. They are an absolutely loaded team. So if you look at what the NBA was, is, and where it's going, the Houston Rockets are the team of the future in the NBA. Now, the future may not start this year, but they're doing it right. You dunk it or you shoot threes. That's it. And everybody on the floor can either get it to a three-ball shooter or hit a three. That's the future of the NBA. Leagues tell you, governments tell you, Wall Street tells you where they're going. Believe them. Don't fight the current. Go with the current. Okay? I'll give you an example. Philadelphia, I think, is going to end up potentially being Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City had three great players. Kevin Durant, Harden, Westbrook. And two of them are great shooters. And the league was moving into great shooters. And they chose Westbrook, who does a lot of things well. Shooting's not one of them. And now they're kind of a dysfunctional mess. They're kind of a dysfunctional mess. Philadelphia, similarly, Embiid, Simmons, Butler. Now, I like Tobias Harris. I wouldn't put him in that class. And I think they're going to choose the wrong guy. They're going to choose Embiid. Embiid is more popular. Embiid is better in the moment. Embiid is easy to embrace. He's good at a microphone. He's good on the floor. He's fun. Where was the league? Where is the league? And where is the league going? Wings, ball handlers, and three-point shooters. But Colin Simmons can't shoot. You're right. What you need to surround him with is shooters. He and Embiid don't work together. And there's a story that came out yesterday that Elton Brand, very smart guy, player, Duke, good dude, thought about trading Ben Simmons. And I would caution him, go look at Oklahoma City. Yes, Westbrook was better than Harden when they moved him. But where was the league going? The league was going to shooters. Ben Simmons is top three player in the league at getting the ball to shooters in the right spot. He doesn't need to be a great shooter. He'll become your Embiid. He'll score low. He will get the ball to a Butler, get it to Tobias Harris, get it to a J.J. Redick. Okay? Where are leagues going? Now, Elton Brand argues, and these are not bad arguments, that Simmons is tough to coach. Lots of guys are. Kevin Durant's not always easy to coach. LeBron's not always easy to coach. You can make the argument that Simmons never wanted to be a Sixer. He didn't work out until the day before the draft. Fine. You can argue that he can't shoot and it's a shooter's league. Look into your analytics. Okay? He does a great job of getting the ball to shooters in the perfect spot. Redick, Harris, Butler. So Oklahoma City had choices. And they, in the moment, they're like, Westbrook's better today. Mm-hmm. Embiid is better today than Simmons. But where are leagues going? You don't need Simmons. He is so proficient scoring around the basket for his size. He doesn't need, you'd prefer he can shoot threes, but it doesn't look like he will. He is unbelievable at handling the ball and getting it to guys who can shoot threes. And he and Embiid don't play well together. I don't think they love each other, and their games don't work. Because Embiid needs to be low, that clogs up the middle, and that's where Ben Simmons scores. It's like LeBron James. LeBron was always best when his big Chris Bosh, Kevin Love, moved out, it cleared the lane, and LeBron could score at the basket or shoot a three. LeBron's not good with a big that camps down low, because then it clogs up the middle, and then suddenly what do you got? LeBron can't score down low against a seven-foot guy. Remember, Roy Hibbert gave him troubles. So it's a very interesting situation. I think Philadelphia is going to choose Embiid long term. They're considering here, according to a story, moving Ben Simmons. I don't think they'll ever play perfectly together. Be careful about falling in love with now, what the league is now, what the moment is now. Where is the league going? Houston is where the league is going. Just a bunch of three-point shooters. If you can't shoot it, have a great elite guy who can get it to him. I'm still a Simmons guy. He's been a big disappointment, but the more you deep dive in analytics, Simmons is the guy you keep. Even if in this moment, like Westbrook Harden, it appears Embiid is the better player. Embiid's been hurt. Embiid's a center. Look at Karl-Anthony Towns. Look at Anthony Davis. Look at Where are these guys all winning series? Where are all these big guys? Where's the league going? It's going toward people who can shoot threes or Ben Simmons who can get the ball to guys who can shoot threes. And not many guys in the NBA already in his early career are better than Simmons at that.
What's going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, Three and Out Podcast, brought to you by the Colin Cowherd Podcast Network. The draft's right around the corner. You know we're talking all football. Coming up on this show, we're talking Tiger Woods and Tom Brady. What do they have in common beside championships? Russell Wilson, he didn't have as much leverage as you think, but the deal was inevitable. John Middlecoff, Three and Out Podcast. Listen to it wherever you find your podcast.
You know, I hear this, Joey, all the time. People say, hey, schedules don't matter. And I'm like, really? If you're married and you went to your wife and said, I'm going to be out of town for the next 5 weekends, you think she'd be like, oh, that's perfect. What about the kids? I'll be gone. What about Little League practice? I'll be gone. What about dinner? I'll be gone. Of course schedules matter. Schedule matters in your life, my life. Of course schedules matter. You think any of these teams wants to go to London? You don't think teams, the first thing they look at is where do we get our bye? Tampa Bay has to play like 5 straight games. They travel 18,000 miles in 5 weeks, season over. There's no way. So I thought there were two schedules that were brutal, two schedules that worked out perfectly, and one that looks tough is actually one of the easiest schedules in the NFL. So let's go to the toughest schedule in the NFL, the Oakland Raiders. This is absolutely brutal. First of all, they face 8 very talented quarterbacks. They got, and here's the order. They got to face Mahomes. Then they go and face at Andrew Luck. Then they have to go at Aaron Rodgers, at Deshaun Watson, Phillip Rivers, at Sam Darnold, at Patrick Mahomes, at Phillip Rivers. Oh, by the way, their international game, best defense in the NFL, Chicago Bears. Oh, by the way, 5-week stretch early in the year, they're not home. This schedule is brutal. I mean, this organization's already got some, you know, lame duck dysfunctional issues. They just figured out what stadium they're playing in. This is a brutal schedule. Good night. Over. The division's tough to begin with. You're rebuilding to begin with. You got a bunch of new guys to begin with on offense. So you'd hope, oh, we can get this thing going. Brutal. I mean, one of the games I didn't even mention is at Minnesota. That's now, people say, the second loudest stadium in the NFL after the Saints. It's just good quarterbacks, the Bears in London, 5 weeks you're not home, brutal. Let's go to the second toughest schedule, New Orleans. Holy Lord. 4 straight playoff teams to start, Houston at the Rams, at Seattle and Dallas. Back-to-back West Coast road trips to start. This is a franchise, last 2 years, that's come off super emotional playoff losses. You'd like it to be a little easier to start. It's the roughest first month of the NFL. Then the middle of the schedule is workable. At the end of the year, 5 of the last 6 quarterbacks they face. Cam at Matt Ryan, Jimmy G at Andrew Luck, at Cam Newton. That's not easy. Those are, you know, Cam Newton's had some success there. So I think this is a really rough schedule. Raiders toughest, Saints second. Now let's go to the 2 easiest schedules. Philadelphia. Lord, do they have somebody in the front, the NFL front office? They only face, first of all, they went out and upgraded their defensive line, which was already good, and they went and got Malik Jackson. So that defensive line is going to travel well. If you have an average quarterback, you're in big trouble against Philadelphia. They only face 2 top quarterbacks on the road all year, both early, at Matt Ryan and at Green Bay. And Jim Ryan, if I recall, has had success against Matt Ryan. I think he has. By the way, their toughest stretch of the year is Chicago, New England, Seattle. They get them all at home, and they get New England off a bye. Great break. And again, you're talking about a great defensive line that only faces 2 elite quarterbacks on the road. Their toughest stretch is off a bye. And they're in a division where Washington and New York don't appear to have very athletic quarterbacks. They're probably going 4-0 in those games. I love Philadelphia's schedule. I liked them to win the NFC East. I really like it now. I like the way it shapes up. Here's another schedule. I told you, everybody's beaten on the Packers, including me. I think the Packers are going to win their division. I love their schedule. So they have a new head coach, right? And they got some mid-level free agent guys. They got some new guys on the roster. And they got 2 first-round picks. That means 2 starters. So Green Bay needs a little bit of a break early. They got it. 5 of their first 7 games are at home. I love that. So they got a new coach. They're going to have 2 first-round picks that probably start. They have a young secondary. They brought in some new free agents. I think they have a brutal opening game at Chicago. And then it's Minnesota, Denver, Philly at home, at Dallas, Detroit, Oakland at home. And then at the end of the year, they get some of the weakest quarterback teams in the NFL down the stretch. Giants, Washington, I'm not a Trubisky fan, Kirk Cousins, and Detroit will be long gone. So early, love it. They can get the new staff, give Aaron Rodgers some time. They have a new offensive lineman. They got some new defensive. The secondary is young. Love Green Bay's schedule. So Raiders, Saints, brutal. Eagles, Packers, love it. Here's a schedule that at first glance, is a fascinating schedule. Look at the New York Jets. So you look at it, and you see here in September, October, at New England, at Philly, Dallas, New England. Whoa, that's brutal. They never leave the Eastern time zone. Their longest flight all year is Miami. Now remember, Adam Gase had a winning record in Miami with Ryan Tannehill. Sam Darnold's more talented than Ryan Tannehill. Here's the last 10 quarterbacks the Jets face. And the Jets defense can play now. Leonard Williams, C.J. Mosley, Jamal Adams, defensive coordinator Greg Williams. Jets defense can play. The Jets defense is going to face these quarterbacks last 10. Foles, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Eli, Colt McCoy, Derek Carr, Andy Dalton, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Ben Roethlisberger. Boy, that's 9 out of 10 weeks. You're not facing, I like Derek Carr. Big Ben I like. But that's 8 out of 10 guys. That defense going to eat up those quarterbacks. And I will say this, they open at home with two games. That's nice. You got Adam Gase, new coach. You get two home games, Buffalo and Cleveland. And the toughest part of your schedule, I'm not denying that, is at New England, bye at Philadelphia. You get a bye before Philadelphia. And you get New England twice. You never have to face New England in late October, November, December. You get both your games against New England are done by the third week of October. So Raiders, Saints, brutal. Packers, Eagles, love it. Jets, never leave the Eastern time zone. Furthest trip is Miami, and your last 10 quarterbacks, 8 of them, your defense has a chance with Greg Williams to beat them up a little.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Let me say this about NFL schedules. I've heard this for years. Oh, Con, Patriots, let's get the easiest schedule. No, the Patriots are in one of the easier divisions. The Jets and the Bills and the Dolphins can't get their quarterback act together or their coach act together. So 6 times a year, it looks like they have an easy schedule. If you look at New England's schedule, they open up with Pittsburgh. Is that easy? There's a stretch where they have to play. This, to me, is arguably the toughest 5-game gauntlet in the NFL. At Baltimore, at Philly, Dallas, at Houston, and Kansas City. That's brutal. That's a brutal 5-game stretch. Now, it just so happens they've owned Houston and owned Kansas City through the years. New England's schedule isn't easy. It's easy for New England. Okay, I'll give you an example. The Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears schedule, if you gave it to New England, would look pretty workable. But I have Mitch Trubisky. And Mitch Trubisky, in 10 of the 16 games for the Bears, will be the inferior quarterback. Their schedule goes Aaron Rodgers, a month later, Derek Carr, Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, Matt Stafford, Jared Goff, skip a week, Stafford, skip a week, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. Okay, with Mitch Trubisky a quarterback, that's a brutal schedule. 10 of the 16 games, I go in with what I believe is the less talented quarterback. And by the way, I didn't mention this game, week 2 at Denver. That's just a loss. Nobody beats Denver at Denver the first 2 weeks of the year. There's like some goofy stat out there. So it goes back to, you know, for years and years, people have complained about Alabama's schedule. It's too easy. It's too easy. Really? Here's Alabama's schedule. At South Carolina, at Texas A&M, LSU, at Mississippi State, and at Auburn. You could give me the best Pac-12 team. They go 1-4 with that. Alabama makes that schedule look very easy. How many people are beating LSU that are not SEC teams? How about we start with not many? Who's beating Mississippi State at Mississippi State or Auburn at Auburn or South Carolina at South Carolina? The only people who are beating them, other SEC teams. So don't tell me Bama's schedule is easy. Bama's schedule is easy for Bama. It's not easy for Stanford. It's not easy for Oregon. It's not easy for UCLA. It's not easy for Michigan State. So New England's schedule is not easy. What New England has had, and this you can't deny, whereas Oakland has to face Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes twice and Phillip Rivers twice, the big break for New England, and this sometimes happens, the Jets, the Bills, and Miami can't get the quarterback and can't get the coach right, and it's been 15 years of it, and so they're generally 5-1 in division. And that's a real thing. I'm not going to deny that. But don't tell me the schedule is easy. It's got a rough five-game gauntlet. They open with Pittsburgh. It's not an easy schedule. It looks easy because it's New England.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Excited to have my next guest. He wrote a book. That's initially how I heard of him. It was about Steph Curry, the miraculous rise of Steph Curry. It's called Golden. He's now at The Athletic. Nobody is closer to the Warriors than Marcus Thompson. Please subscribe. It's great reading. Marcus, have we ever met before?
You would know.
Have we?
No, we never met.
I don't think we have. Listen, I'm getting old. I forget people and faces and everything. So your Steph Curry book is when I was first introduced. Now Warriors. So you cover the Warriors as close as everybody. I find Kevin Durant to be fascinating.
Me too.
He's crazy.
He's
okay.
Incredible. Yeah.
Okay, so my comp to him, Marcus, is Aaron Rodgers. Smart people in general overthink stuff, are more aware of stuff, and stuff ruminates that it wouldn't if you're just kind of a regular dude. Kevin and Aaron are bothered more easily because they think about more stuff. They get into those discussions in their head that other people don't. So I just keep hearing that he's leaving Golden State. Let's start with this. Do you buy it's a done deal?
I don't buy it's a done deal, even if it might be a done deal, right? I feel like it's one of those things. I'm not buying that at the last moment he's sitting at a meeting with somebody and he can't be swayed either way to stay or go. I just,
because that's his personality.
Yeah, he could think it's done right now, whether that's staying or going. I still think later on, like, he can be swayed. Like, he's a guy, he feels everything. He sits in the room, he's present, he's got to weigh this stuff. We still have 3 or 4 more series if they win a championship of data to insert into this equation, right? Like, I don't know if, even if he thinks he knows the answer, I don't think he knows the answer. I'm not buying it.
So Joe Lacob, the owner, part of the sales pitch was, I'll get you as an early investor on this tech stuff. I've been told he's in on good tech stuff. Do you buy that helps the Warriors?
Oh, no question. No, Silicon Valley is the new, you know,
Wall
New York
Street.
Or L.A. Oh, no question. It's like, hey, I'm going to get you in. I can have you meet people. Oracle. It's like, you know, the celebrity row at Staples.
Yeah.
At Oracle, it's a bunch of billionaires you never heard of, right? It's tech row, it's Silicon Valley. So it's a different kind of, you know, elitism. And, oh, they love being around that stuff.
They do.
Yeah, oh, no question.
What's the difference between covering Steph and covering KD? Because they're both bright. They both, in front of a microphone, can be fascinating guys. What's the difference as a reporter?
Well, Kevin Durant, you got to work to get to him. Right. Like he makes you work. He is so personable. Like he's a human. Like he's the most human guy I've ever covered. Right.
Really?
Yes. No question. He talks to you. He feels what you're saying. Like you can have an existential conversation with him. No question. Like he loves to talk. You know, when he gets mad at you, he's going to let you know. When when you say something funny, he's going to laugh. Like, he's that way. Steph is much more, like,
guarded.
Reserved and guarded and professional, right? The best conversations with Steph are, like, off the record. But, you know, he is definitely more – you can tell his father was in the NBA with Steph, right? Like, you know he is so well-seasoned.
Corporate.
And so well-groomed, and he knows exactly what he wants to say. Like, you kind of got to read him and know him to understand what he really means. It takes time. Kevin Durant is like, you go in there, you prod him, you know, you're going to get something from him off the bat.
I've never heard anybody say it that way, that Kevin feels everything you say. He's in the moment.
Man, I've never experienced.
Has he ever yelled
before
at you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No question. I've gotten text messages from him, like, how could you do that? How could you write that? And we've argued about stuff. Well, no question.
I love that.
He is a guy. No question. It makes a lot of sense. Like, digging into his life, I learned a lot about him. He makes so much sense when you know him.
What does that mean?
Like,
explain that to me.
Who he is and where he comes from.
Who is
or what he?
He
grew up. He's this he's a kid who grew up like in a really like rough situation, and he never really had the foundation. Like his life was so unsettled. Right. So I think he's still finding that. I think he's still looking for that.
A little bit of a wanderer.
Yeah, yeah. He's still looking for. I mean, he went to six high schools. Like he went to. He played for six teams. I'm sorry, in 6 years. He went to four high schools, college, then Seattle, and the like. He just nonstop moving.
Why would he leave a thinking man's paradise, San Francisco? It's the smartest city in the country.
You know, there's a simple answer to this, though.
What?
Because you can. Right? Like, because when you look, I don't have options, right?
So yeah,
I'm like, look, I'm good. Nobody's knocking down my door.
Come on, Martin.
But if they start knocking down my door, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to listen. I'm going to weigh my options.
Okay,
I think because he can.
So right? I've argued that basketball in the Bay Area is nirvana. Nobody's perfect. You got salary caps. Steve Kerr's a protective shield. How does this land for Steve Kerr? Because Steve is an intellect, and he obviously appreciates Kevin's thoughtfulness, but is probably frustrated by his wandering quality. How does it land for him?
I think it's a struggle. I think this is the difficulty of coaching a super team, right? We've seen Phil Jackson go through this. We've seen Eric Spoelstra go through this. Like, these are situations coaches don't go through. Like, this is an anomaly, right? Not every coach. This is not a normal coaching situation. He's got Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, who's like as fiery as they come and is going to tell you the absolute truth.
Wrong.
Right? Steph Curry, who's like the ultimate professional and this guy trying to make everything work. And Klay Thompson is just Klay. And you've got to manage all of that. So for Steve, like, it's difficult. Like, no question. Everything that happens is a big deal. And you can see him and KD have philosophical differences about basketball.
So let's go to that.
Question.
So how does Kerr see the world and how does Durant see it?
I think from a basket, so, you know, Steve is big on strength and numbers, right? He's big on, look, the 14th guy on the bench, you're going to need that guy. So you need to take care of him. You need to groom him for that moment. And you buy into the system. KD is like, yo, I'm a beast. Right, I'm the system. I think there's a KD's pretty much of a dichotomy, right? He loves, that's why he's with the Warriors, is the moving the ball, the team aspect. Like, he loves that stuff.
It's thoughtful.
He's very sappy about that, about that purity of basketball.
Sure.
Like, he's very sappy
that's
about
cool.
that. But he's also like Kevin Durant. Like he said, yo, I'm Kevin Durant. Y'all know who I am. He's also a dude who could, like, I could go dominate this anytime I want to. So I think he wars about that. And he definitely, him and Steve have a philosophical difference. I've never seen a star player in the post game like disagree with the coach more than Kevin Durant disagrees with Steve Kerr.
But see, Steve Kerr should be okay with that because
Steve likes that. He is. He's okay with it, especially if you have a good reason, right? If you've got an explanation, like, look, privately, he's probably like, I'm so, you know, this dude needs to run the play, right? Privately, he's probably thinking that, but. No, he's created the environment where you can say something. Like, that's who they are.
In 1 year, what is the roster? What is the starting five in a year, in your opinion?
Man, that's a tough one.
Am I putting you on a spot?
I've thought about this all year, right?
Okay.
Like, if 2 months ago I had a different answer, in a month I'm going to have a different answer, right? But there's a part of me that thinks they're going to run this thing back.
There's a part
of me that thinks, like, in the end, how it's going to be tough to just pull the trigger and walk away from it. But there's another part of the thing, hey, it's going to be Rudy Gay and Steph Curry or something like that, or Terrence Ross.
Well, they're going to re-sign Klay.
Yes.
They're not going to give Draymond massive money, or are they, because Boogie's now gone?
I think if KD leaves, like, you might as well just cash in on the big three. Well, why not? Remember, they got a new stadium to sell out. So
that's one of the reasons, Marcus, I say. I know it sounds like it doesn't matter, but people wanted to open the new Yankee Stadium. People want to be in that new – it's going to be the world's best basketball facility.
No question.
So, yeah. I mean, and to me, why would you walk away from that? That's so uplifting and so fun and so celebrated. But you wrote – you're the author – for the record, folks, I can't wait, just listening to you, of the upcoming Kevin Durant biography, KD, Kevin Durant's relentless pursuit to be the greatest, comes out in a month, basically, May 14th.
Yep.
God, this is so you have been just...
exhausted.
So you cover the team, and you've been going to his home. Now, I know of Kevin Durant's mother. I've seen her before. And she's a powerful force in his life?
Yeah, oh yeah, she was the foundation of his life. Like, she was a single mom. His dad left, and the crazy part is his dad is back, and his dad is like a part of his life.
And, wow. Yeah. And accepted?
Oh yeah, no question. Yeah, Kevin Durant loves his father. His father is important to him. It's amazing. I mean, partly I understand this because I kind of grew up in a similar situation, but like, people who grow up the way Kevin Durant grew up, they don't end up like Kevin Durant. They end up in jail. They end up in a gang. They end up hooked on something. So I understand this idea of like, all right, if you're sensitive and that's the worst thing that you turned out, like, that's a golf clap, you know? Because, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because it could have been a lot worse, and it is a lot worse sometimes. So, like, seeing it from that perspective really changed. Because I was the same way. Like, dude, you're Kevin Durant. Why do you care what somebody says on Twitter? But when you've been kind of unsettled your whole life, and you've been fighting, and you've been having to kind of fight for every ounce of it, why would he not fight? This is what he is. This is who he is.
It's fascinating stuff. Marcus Thompson, The Athletic. I'll just throw this at you. When you did the book on Steph Curry, I think I know most of the story. What was the surprise in it for you?
The real surprise was how like central his mother was to everything. Like, the connection is always Dale and Steph, right? And obviously it makes sense. His dad played in the NBA. His dad's a shooter. Man, that dude is his mother's child. Like, it's without question. His tenacity, his athleticism, like, his faith, the way he approaches life. Like, he's his mother's child. And, like, researching it and, like, digging into his life, he's like, wow, he's definitely Sonya's kid. Like, they have so many similar traits. And then, you know, you get to know Sonya, you're like, a lot of Steph makes sense. A lot of Steph makes sense when you know Sonya. Like, it's clear to me. And I know, you know, his mother's pretty and she gets known for that, but man, she's a bulldog. Like, she's not messing around. Like, she really raised them kids, and Steph is like the shining
example.
Well,
the dad was an NBA player, yeah, so yeah. You travel a lot.
No question.
That's just the reality of it.
No question. And she's the rock. Like, she was Steph's rock. She was Seth's rock. But he is a lot like her. And I didn't realize that. I just presumed, like, yo, you shoot like your dad. You got to be like your dad, right?
I remember his dad. His dad was a hell of a shooter.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, him and his dad is like his professional example, right? He learned. That's why he's so smooth. Yeah, that's why he's so smooth in media and all that, because his dad showed him the way. But like, the Steph that refuses to quit, the Steph that like is quietly as competitive as Russell Westbrook, just without the theatrics. Like, that's Sonya. Sonya's like ready. She's ready to go.
Marcus Thompson, you get this kind of information if you go to The Athletic. Subscribe. Great stuff. Absolute pleasure to meet you. This was fascinating.
Yeah, that's why I knew if you met me before, you would know. Like, it would be fascinating, right? Right?
That's a very good point, Marcus.
Thanks for having me. I'd
love to have
it.
You again on the show. When your book's coming out, get back on the show.
I need a reason to come to L.A. Let's do it.
Listen, this show can sell books, right? We sell books.